69.
There is so much more to what we do when we consider that we're doing it for the Lord. And even when it comes to mothers, fathers, whoever it is, when we're serving and when we're helping others, doing the roles that God has separated us out to do, when we're doing it unto the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. 2 Kings chapter number 4, you're going to hear the story of a mother who is going through a very desperate time. And as I look across the world today, and as I consider the headlines and different things you see, man, there are some mothers that carry heavy burdens. So that's the title of this morning's message, is Some Moms That Carry Heavy Burdens. 2 Kings chapter number 4, you come to a spot where there is a lady here who has lost her husband, making her a widow. Also, she has what I believe is two kids still in the house. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, there's a problem there, that there is a debt and the creditors are getting ready to come and take the children away. So if, according to the Jewish history, if the children were old enough to take care of their mom, if they were out of the house or old enough to have their own families, they'd be taking care of their mom instead of the creditors coming to take them away. So when you read this story, I want you to see what this lady is going through. And it's one tragedy after another for this lady. And I'd like for you to see how she responds. Because I know that we all carry burdens. And I know sometimes people think, okay, it's Mother's Day. The message is only for ladies in the room, specifically mothers. And that's just not the case. We all carry burdens. We all have things that we have struggled with. We all have things that we're dealing with. We all have things that are coming across our lives. And we just have to learn how to deal with it. Well, there's something more to it than that. And I, this past week, and one of the things that I think is a tragedy in the world that we're in today, I know that no problem is new, but this is one of the ones that seems like it coming up more and more often. I see young people, children, committing suicide. You read those headlines and all those things. I was reading the headline the other day, an 8-year-old, thinking, wow, I guess he was bullied at school and he took his own life. And I thought, I feel for the family, and I begin, especially being near Mother's Day, I think about, wow, what that mother must be going through. I don't know anything about the situation, don't know anything about the mother. And there are a lot of ladies out there that are moms, but they definitely don't act like biblical mothers, as the Bible talks about. But there's a lot of people out there today that are hurting and that are carrying burdens and having struggles. And what you see in this story here today, you have a lady here who is really in a hard and a very tough spot. And as you think about this tough spot that she's in, how does she respond? And I want you to see how, first of all, this mother's burden. Then I want you to see how the mother responds to the burden and how God responds to the mother. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, Now their cried, and you see what she does. She cries out, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. You see the word sons of the prophets, you're wondering what that is. It's not somebody who is a child of a prophet. It is someone who's studying to become a prophet, someone who's studying to be a preacher. And in a sense, in that day, it was called prophets back then. They're sons of the prophets unto Elisha. And Elisha was the main prophet of that day, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman. Now, back in Bible times, this was completely legal. The dad here, the husband, he was someone who was studying to be a prophet. He was a man of God. Now, he obviously did not make some wise financial decisions, and because of that, when he passed away, and I think it had to be unexpectedly or suddenly, because there's still children in the home, so more than likely, unless he had some type of disease, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but he died probably at a young age. Probably his wife was not expecting this, and I'm sure he probably wasn't expecting it, because he had a debt that I'm sure he was planning on paying. So you have what this woman is facing is that she has lost her husband, and she probably is not very old, and she has lost her husband, and all that she has left is these two boys or these two children that are inside the house. And now, because of her husband's debt, the creditor is coming and wants to take her two children away to make them slaves until they pay off the debt. Boy, that sounds like a pretty big burden. That sounds like a pretty tough spot. But what do we see her responses? And we see that she is crying out to God, going to the prophet of God. She's not becoming bitter, not becoming angry. She goes to God. And look at Elisha's response in verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. So she goes to Elijah and says, look, we have this need. What would be most of our responses? Most of our response, if we had the ability, would take out our wallet and say, here, why don't you pay these creditors off? And, you know, here's what you need. That's not what Elisha does. You say, well, maybe Elisha didn't have the finances. Well, if you go back in the Bible, you see Elisha, when he was called, he was plowing with, I think it was 12 yoke of oxen. Back in Bible times, if you had one oxen, you would have been considered well off. But to have 12 yoke of oxen, meaning that he was probably from a family that was wealthy. But in the least, if he didn't have the resources, he probably knew somebody that had the resources to help this widow woman out. But God has a different plan. God, through Elisha, tells this woman to go and take these vessels and go borrow empty vessels, and not a few. Go borrow as many as you can and bring them to the house and see what God's going to do. Verse number 4, and when thou art come in, talking about after you get the vessels and you come into your house, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So the idea here is that they would take the oil that was in the one pot, in verse number 2, all that she had, and would pour it into the other vessels, and when those vessels were full, set them aside. Verse number 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So we see here that the sons probably went out and helped get the vessels. They bring all the vessels in, they shut the door, and as they're filling it up, they're pouring them out, and the oil just continues to be there and keeps on filling it up and filling it up. There's a miracle that's happening. And it comes in verse number 6, and it says, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. What a miracle. You see here that they were filling all the vessels up, and they came to the spot. All the vessels are full, and it says the oil stayed. That means the oil stops, the amount that was there. Verse number 7, and then she came and told the man of God, talking about Elisha, the person that she went to with her burden. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. It's an amazing thought here, and it's a simple story today for this Mother's Day story, is that this mom had a great burden, just as many people today have great burdens. She goes before the Lord. She responds by believing the word of God, and she responds by obeying the word of God, and then God responds to her faith. This morning, I want to try to be an encouragement to some mothers here. Not only mothers, but fathers. Not only fathers, there's a lot of young people that carry burdens today too. Anyone here today that's carrying a burden, we can learn something from this story and help us with these burdens, because we can give them over to God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to every person's heart today. Lord, I know you've spoken to my heart, and Lord, I pray that through the story and through the message, Lord, you give me the exact words you once said. Lord, fill me with your spirit, and Lord, help each person that's here today to see that, yes, some of us are carrying very heavy burdens, but Lord, how you can help us through those. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see, and we've already alluded to it, was the mother's burden. There is a great burden that's happening to this woman. If you would think about this phrase, when it rains, it pours, it would be about this woman. Not only is she is a widow at an early age. She still has children at home. These are overwhelming difficulties. These are overwhelming circumstances. She has meager resources, and she is confronted with this untimely death of her husband. Man, what tougher thing can you imagine than that? But then you add on top of the fact that she lost her husband at an early age, but now she's trying to take care of her children. Now the creditors are coming to take her children away. See, back in Bible times, there was not a benefit of Social Security or life insurance. This woman was faced with an unpayable debt, and the creditor was within his legal rights to take the sons to a life of slavery until the debt was paid off. Financial pressures can mount. Financial pressures are something that many of us deal with. And sometimes as we are under the weight of these great financial pressures, we don't exactly know what to do. And then you got a third thing I want you to consider about this woman's burden. I think if you get the story that this man was a son of the prophet, he was known by Elisha, and he had a great testimony. So I think she's trying to raise these boys for God. So, that's true. Well, think about the day and time that they're raising these boys. You think about it was during the day and time when Ahab and Jezebel was in charge. You think about it, it was back in Elijah's day, which was just a few short years earlier, it was against the law to be a prophet, that they had hidden many of the prophets of God. And it was a very, very dark time in the day of Israel. And this woman, as I can imagine, losing your mate at such a young age, and then also someone coming and trying to take your sons away from you, and still just trying to do what's right and trying to raise your children for God. You can imagine, this woman had an enormous burden upon her. So what does she do? What do you do when you have your burdens? Sometimes people get bitter. Sometimes people get angry. Sometimes people try to figure it out themselves. But what does she do? Look what it says in verse number 2. And Elijah said unto her, she went to listen to the word of God from the man of God. Verse number 1, it talks about how she cried out. It says, now there cried a certain woman. She's crying out to God. Now, there's something that you got to realize. Adverse circumstances are going to do something. They're either going to reveal your faith or your fear. They're going to reveal that you have faith in God and you're turning to God, or they're going to reveal your fear. Sometimes it reveals both. It is only when we look to God and the instruction of His word and believe and act upon those instructions that God is able to help us. So how does the mother respond to her burden? She cries out to God. See, hard times are not the time when we run from God. It's the time that we should be running to God. This woman here is overwhelmed. She does not know what to do. And she goes to the man of God, appealing on what? Look what it says in verse number 1. She says, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. She's saying, look, you know my man, my husband. It was a man of God. He was a servant of yours, and he feared the Lord. So she goes to God and says, She goes to the man of God and says, I need help. I need God's help. And she goes to the place where she knows Elisha as the prophet of God and seeks wisdom and help. I want you to understand that God loves each and every person that's in this room today. God knows what you're going through. He sees your burdens. He sees what you're struggling with. And He tells you that you can come to Him. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 6:9 talks about the model prayer that Jesus gives. And He starts off by saying, our Father, which art in heaven. It's saying that God is saying, I want you to picture me as your Father. And when you have a need, and when you have a concern, and when you have a burden, and when you have anything, you can come to me. And we heard about this past, I think it was Wednesday night in the revival, how the evangelist talked about how we can approach Him as we would approach our own Father with our needs. I know that my Father, who is not perfect, would be a person, an individual that I could go to with a need. And I know He would help me to the best of His ability. And sometimes He might not be able to help me as much as I need, but I have a Heavenly Father that I can approach and that loves me. And I could approach my Heavenly Father, and He is willing to help me just as much, even in a greater way than my earthly father can. I want to encourage you today, whether you're a mother or whether whoever you are or what your role in life is, if you have burdens, we can cry out to God today and God will listen to you. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus. I know you've heard me talk about him many times. It says that Jesus stood still and listened to the cry of Bartimaeus. Jesus was surrounded by people, and blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road, and he's out over there yelling, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around him are telling him to be quiet, to be quiet. The master doesn't want to talk to you. You're a nobody. You're a blind man. No one cares about you. And Jesus is surrounded. He says he was thronged by people, so many people that are there. And it says that Jesus hears blind Bartimaeus, and he stands still and beckons for him to be called. So how does that help you? It's because of the fact that no matter what's going on in this world, no matter all the different things in this world, Jesus will stand still and he will listen to your needs and he will listen to your problems today, just like he helped this poor widow lady that had these young children at home. But I'm surprised, and I think we can learn from Elisha's response here. It would have been easy for Elisha to say, okay, sister, you've suffered enough. I've seen what you've gone through with your husband. I see what's going on with your sons. Here, just take the money. You've been through enough. But that's not how he does it. Instead, He tells her, look, the Lord's going to meet your need. Just go. The Lord's going to meet your need, but you're going to have to get involved. Look what he says in verse number 2. Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? So the first thing he's saying, what is your need? And the second thing he's saying is, what do you have? Now, why would he do that? He's showing her something. He's showing her, you have this humongous need, this great burden. She already knows that. And how are you going to fix it? What he is doing is he is erasing her faith in herself and saying, you cannot handle this. You cannot control this. You can't do this on your own. But now this is how God can take care of it. And in your lives, we got to come to the realization. And in this story, just like this woman had to come to, yes, you have this great burden. You have this great need. And what are you going to do about it? You're like, I can't do anything about it. That's the first step. You release the faith that you have in yourself, and you see the faith that you can have in God. Often God will use trials and heartaches and burdens of life to bring us to the place where we can honestly see our need and see our own inability to meet it. Think about it. As long as we can handle our needs, we don't go to God. As long as we can take care of these things on our own, many times we just turn around and do things our own way and figure, hey, we can figure this out. That's not what God wants. When we stop and answer these two questions honestly, what do you need and what do you have? We see something. We see that we need God. Not only do we see the response of crying out to God, but she believes in the word of God. Now, Elisha asks her to do something very unusual. She believes in the message that she heard, even though it was probably hard to accept. Could you imagine that she's there and she's lost her husband and she's looking for help, and Elisha tells her, go borrow a bunch of vessels. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, go borrow vessels for what? You know, she'd be overwhelmed. She's already burdened. She's already probably just not knowing. And sometimes what God asks us to do does not make human sense. Elisha instructed the woman to act upon a message that proved to be a challenge to her reasoning. Faith choices are not always logical choices by the standard of human reasoning. Borrowing vessels for the purpose of emptying one vessel of oil into the other seemed to be a preposterous statement and idea. But ultimately, she finds the faith is a matter of choice. Faith is not doing what feels right. It's more of an attitude of, I'm going to believe and trust in what God and His Word says. She cries out to God. She believes in the Word of God. And she, by faith, reacts to it. Think about this story. It says that in verse number 3. Then he said, go borrow these vessels. Verse number 4, what does she do? She does it. She goes and she gets her sons involved. And you know what happens? God miraculously provides. A couple of things I want you to see in this story that I think is really important. And for me, it's the heart of the message. She didn't have much. It says that she had one pot of oil. Many commentators think it was just one little bit of oil, whether it was a great pot or doesn't really matter. She did not have much. She did not have enough to be able to make her burden go away. I think some moms are famous for that. Anybody ever had a mother that didn't have very much in the cupboards, but could turn around and make a great meal out of it? You know, some moms that didn't have much fabric, but could use that fabric they had and make the most of it to make some type of clothing for their children. Moms are famous for taking bad situations and making it into something great. And this mom here listens to the word of God and responds to the word of God and says, you know what? I do not have much, but what I have, I'm going to use the way God tells me to use. Many times we tend to focus on what we don't have. What God wants us to focus on is what we have. And the Bible's filled with illustrations of that. You know, there's many times that we think we don't have enough or we don't think we have everything we need to accomplish it. But what God wants us to do is surrender those things that we do have. Say, Pastor, my burden is great. I don't have very much. God says, I want you to take what you have and give it over to me and I can do something great with it. Well, where do you see that in the Bible? Well, Moses, he was sitting there with that shepherd's staff, and God said to him, what's that in your hand? And God used that shepherd's staff to help free the people of Israel. And think about David. What did David have in his hand when he goes to fight Goliath? Nothing but a slingshot. But he took that slingshot and was willing to put it in God's hands. You think about the lad that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. It is a biblical principle. Take what you have, even though you might not think it is much, give it over to the Lord, and God can do amazing things with it. Just like he took those five loaves and two fishes and fed over 5,000 men, which we think probably is more like 15,000 people that day. There was a great need, but when you're willing to give over what God has given you. I know sometimes mothers today don't always have what they need. But we need to focus on the things that we do have, not on the things that we don't have. Elisha's response also required that the widow would take action. The plan he presented to her demanded that she would have to give effort. The results we get from God often depend upon our actions. You know, we like the idea that we can get rescued and never have to do any type of work, but that's not what he chooses to do there. He says, I want you to put feet to your faith. I want you to put labor to your faith. I want you to work and show and demonstrate, and God is going to react to the fact of her actions. The faith you demonstrate in doing what you're given to do will determine how much of a blessing you will receive from God. That's why Elisha tells him, make sure that you don't borrow just a few. Our faith choices as parents are vital. You say, why? Well, you think about it. Who else is in this story? Who else has been affected? There's a widow lady there. She lost her husband. Who else is in a bad shape? Well, you think about the two boys. Not only did they just recently lose their dad, but they're watching their mom go through this struggle. And that's who the creditor is coming to take and put them into a form of a servant or slave or whatever it is until they pay off their father's debt. So they're going through something also. I want you to see in this story that Elisha not only includes the mom in the story, but it includes also those two boys in the story. I want to encourage you as mothers today. Include your children in your work and in your faith. Include your children in what God has been doing in your life. Our faith choices as parents are so vital and vitally important because we have children that need to be redeemed. The sons of this dear woman were the beneficiaries of her faith. They were saved from the creditor, but they were instructed also in the process. May our active, vibrant faith deepen our relationship with God. Seeing this miracle and being a part of this miracle would have had a great influence on their kids. Seeing what happened and watching that oil be put into one vessel after another vessel after another vessel, they would have had their lives changed forever because they saw not only God work in the life of their mother, but also use them, and they could always hold to the fact that God helped rescue them. Sometimes I think we don't ask much from our kids. Sometimes it's like, oh, they might not want to get involved, or they might not want to be a part of it. I don't want to force my faith down someone else's throat. I think it's important that we learn to encourage others, encourage our children to be a part of what we're doing. I know some people probably have given me a hard time before in the past about how much we expect from our sons around the church. And our sons help do a lot of things around the church. They love the church. They love the things of God. They love helping. Are they always excited about setting up chairs? No. But when God uses them, and when God uses something that happens around our church, they had a part in it. I like Kids Crusade, and they go out and we pass out cards and we put cards on the door, and they get so excited. Remember when they were kids, especially when they saw that someone came from a certain neighborhood and they had put the cards on those doors. And sometimes they would say, okay, Dad, what house or what unit? And they would remember who did those houses and who did those houses. And because they left those cards, and it's not about them, but it's exciting to see them get involved and see God answering their prayers. And when they see God working and God moving, nothing will ever be able to take that faith from them because God had used them in the past. Parents, it is so important to get your children involved. Have them see your vibrant faith. Have them have that make a difference. Imagine those sons watch this miracle unfold. They shut the door. And can you imagine being one of those sons who helped borrow those vessels, who was helping going and getting the vessels, and just watching God over and over do something special? I want to encourage you today. Get your children involved with your faith. Get your children involved in what you're doing. Faith is acting according to God's word, whether it's easy to understand or not. Get your children involved and say, you know, we're going to go to church. We're going to be a part of this. And when you see something happen, when God answers a prayer, remind them you had a part in that. You helped pray for that. You helped give for that. You helped do these things. You are in that reward, and show them and teach them how God can use them. But many times we have not passed down that one faith to another generation. It happened in the story of Joshua. The story of Joshua, God had done great and wonderful things. Let me read some verses. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that God did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. So in this generation, there was many, many, many mighty things that God done. And Joshua dies and goes off from the scene. It says, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, the generation after Joshua, and there arose another generation after them. Now listen to these words, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So what the Bible is saying here is that after this great generation where they had done so many things for God, there arose another generation. It says they knew not God, nor the mighty works. They had never passed it down to that next generation. Parents, mothers, make sure you're passing your faith down to the next generation. Last thing I want you to see is God responds to her faith. We see how the mom had a burden and how she reacts to the burden. She cries out to God. She listens to the word of God. She obeys the word of God. She uses what little she has. She involves her sons, and God sees her faith and God responds. Over and over, especially in the New Testament and the Gospels, Jesus talks to those he was healing and he says to them, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." And it says he saw their faith. Luke 7:50 put it this way, and he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Matthew 8:10, and who Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, "Verily I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." Matthew 9:22 says, as he's talking to the woman, he says, "Thy faith had made thee whole," and the woman was made whole that hour. Matthew 9:29, he says, "Then touched he their eyes, according to their faith be it unto you." Matthew 15:28, Jesus answered and said to him, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." Matthew 10:52 says, "Go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole." Matthew 11:22, and Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God." Over and over and over, you see God responds to our faith. And that's what he's doing here. He knows this woman's burden. This woman cries out to God, gets the word of God from the man of God, and she responds, and God responds to that faith. See, God likes it for us to be dependent upon him. All the credit, all the honor, all the glory for everything that accomplishes belongs to God, not the woman, not Elisha. It's about what God can do with someone who's willing to respond to him. If we need him, we pray for him. If we need him, we trust him more. If we need him, we will glorify him more. God does what we cannot do for ourselves. Couple things and we'll be finished. I want you to think about, she received exactly what she had faith to receive. What do you mean? Well, as many vessels as she got, that's how many vessels were filled. If she would have got half as many, she would add half as much oil. If she would have got twice as many, she would have had twice as much oil. And I'm sitting in a room or speaking to a room where people were, "Lord, I have faith, help thou my unbelief." You know, if we would challenge ourselves to step out by faith. And this is a perfect story of how we see how God is willing to respond to our faith and how much we are willing to sow. Because if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. I want to encourage you today, when everything is said and done, what are you going to do? You know, you've heard this saying, you know, when you come to the end of the rope. Have you ever felt like you're at the end of your rope? You know, some people say, just tie a knot and hang on. That's what a realist would say. A pessimist would say, you might as well just let go. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. The optimist would say, just tie another knot and keep on climbing. You know, we all come to this spot where we are heavily burdened. But the amazing thing is, we can turn to God. We can cry out to God. And when we obey God and respond to his word, you know what can happen? God will respond to our faith. The problem is, some of us don't know God like that. When we mentioned that earlier, that we can approach God as a father, that means that we have entered into a relationship to him and know him personally as our Savior. I know God as my Father because there was a day in my life when I saw Jesus, when I saw myself as a sinner and that I needed a Savior, and I knew what Jesus Christ had done. My sins were going to separate me from God forever, and I was explained because of my sin, I was going to pay for my sins for all eternity in a horrible place called hell. But Jesus Christ came to this world to die for our sins. He was buried and rose again on the third day to pay my sin debt for me. The greatest burden any of us carry is not knowing him. That sin burden that Jesus Christ paid for us is something that we must give over to him. How do you do that? It's by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I encourage you today, with all the burdens of life and all the things we face, and we face so many things today that we've never faced before. The generations today is just crazy with things that are happening, and there are so many things that are overwhelming us. You can cry out to your Heavenly Father who loves you and who will help you and will respond to your faith. But do you have a Heavenly Father to respond to? Do you know him today? Has there ever been a time in your life when you saw yourself as a sinner and repented of those sins and confessed those sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Greatest decision you ever do. Because then you know you have a Heavenly Father that you can turn to. Just as this woman stepped out by faith and God made her do some work. We all like the stories when there's an unexpected check in the mail. We all like the stories when you hear, oh, there's a brand new car in the driveway. That's not how it normally happens. God wants us to respond to his word by faith. And that's what he's asking you to do today. So respond to the fact that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and ask him to save you. For by grace are you saved through faith. If you've never done that today, let me encourage you. Put your faith and trust in him. If you have done that and you're carrying a burden around, give it over to the Lord. Cry out to him. And in this story, this woman who had lost this husband at such a young age, they're coming to take her children away. I can't imagine being in a worse spot. Thankfully, she doesn't become bitter, doesn't become angry, doesn't begin to question. She goes to the man of God seeking a word from the Lord, and she gets the help she needs. If you cry out to God, he'll give you the help you need. It might not always be the answer that you want. You might not always understand their answer. You might not understand why everything is happening, but he will give you the grace to sustain everything that you're going through. His grace is sufficient. Let's go ahead and close our eyes and bow.